For the last 10 years that my husband and I lived in New York City, we lived in a neighborhood called Riverdale, on the northernmost border of the city. I like to call it the sleepy little hamlet of Riverdale because in the city that never sleeps, this stretch took its rest very seriously. Our neighborhood was ethnically, culturally, religiously Jewish. Shops closed early on Friday and stayed shut for Saturday, the Sabbath day. We would routinely see groups of friends and families strolling along the sidewalks to their synagogues on Friday evenings and Saturday mornings. Some were Orthodox Jews, others modern Orthodox, a few Hasidic. They carry their yarmulkes and prayer shawls and nothing else. I always found these devotions incredibly touching. They clearly brought people such serenity. In our apartment building, we had a number of Jewish neighbors who were observant. They hung mezuzahs holding tiny scripture scrolls by their doors, and each fall built sukkah huts behind the building, and brought out family menorahs for Hanukkah each winter, and invited my husband and me over for a Passover Seder each spring. They were unfailingly kind and generous toward us. One family we got to know especially well over the years. We watched their three children grow up and even went to their oldest's bar mitzvah. Their mother, Nancy, always seemed to have her hands full, but never more so than on a Friday afternoon. Sometimes in the lobby, we could hear her dividing up chores between the older children. Everyone was racing to get everything done before sundown so they could have their Shabbat meal together. Over time, I noticed their family routine became a part of my own weekly rhythm. I would run to hold the door for them as they scurried back with bags from the local Israeli market. They had the drill down and moved through its paces pretty quickly. For a time, I thought it was ironic that they were rushing so much to rest. I no longer do. Watching how much we all rush through our days these days, it seems incredibly important that we punctuate them with rest. Collective rest, shared rest, communal rest, Sabbath time. 7 years ago in Atlanta, a woman named Tricia Hershey, who was then a student in the Masters of Divinity program at the Candler School of Theology at Emory University, noticed that life as a seminarian was exhausting her and that she needed much more sleep than she was getting. So she started napping when she could and where she could, in the campus quad, at library tables, in the pews at chapel. Her cumulative naps felt transformational. They constituted a spiritual experience for her. "Naps really saved my life," Hershey told Atlanta Magazine. "Sleep is such a healing portal." That insight gave rise to what started in 2016 as a project and has since become a movement. Hershey calls this the Nap Ministry. In the years since her graduation, Hershey has taken the Nap Ministry across the country and become its Nap Bishop. She is a vocal proponent of the public and unabashed practice of rest and organizes communal napping events. She considers these crucial for restoring and renewing community, particularly for people of color. As an African-American woman, Hershey draws on the wisdom of womenist theologians who challenge those punishing, pervasive, and pernicious messages that valorize human suffering. She sees the long legacy of slavery taking the novel forms of chronic exhaustion and sleep deprivation. "Rest is resistance. Rest is liberation," Hershey contends. "Rest is soul care. Rest is spiritual care." Indeed, in our capitalistic culture, an ethos of rest is intensely countercultural. The renowned Protestant theologian and biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann explains that Sabbath is about the withdrawal from the anxiety system of Pharaoh, the refusal to let one's life be defined by production and consumption. Sabbath becomes a decisive, concrete, visible way of opting for and aligning with the God of rest. Yet how often do we align ourselves with that good God instead of mammon? For more than a decade now, I have had the great privilege of working with a marvelous spiritual director. Spiritual directors pay very close attention to people's spiritual lives and development, and in recent years, mine has become preoccupied with the regularity of my rest practice and whether I keep a personal Sabbath. Because I have not given it the honor it is due, the honor my old neighbors paid it, the honor the Knapp Bishop preaches that it deserves. Stop rushing and pushing yourself so much, she tells us. As grind culture slows down, will you? If not now, my spiritual director asks me, then when? Our divine bodies were not created to be machinery. Stop grinding, the Knapp Bishop commands. We're constantly told to go harder, grind more, boss up, push through, fake it till you make it, and sleep when you're dead. I'm wondering where we can find tenderness, softness, alignment, and rest. Aren't you tired? She asks us. Honestly, more often than I care to admit, I am. I go harder and grind more and push through exhaustion. I suspect some of you may do these same things. The solution to our problems is so straightforward. It is at once physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. We simply need to rest more. We must rest now. We need to reclaim our Sabbath days, but beyond that, our Sabbath moments, day in and day out. Like other visionaries today, the Knapp Bishop believes that our current pandemic is providing us a precious opportunity to discover, and possibly rediscover, more humane ways of living, wiser ways of thriving instead of merely surviving the daily grind. This oppressive culture wants us to believe in a scarcity model, she argues. Resting resides in the model of abundance. We are enough and there is enough for all. Do you believe that to be true? That you are enough, that I am enough, that we are enough, and that we already have and do enough? None of us needs to constantly be earning our cosmic keep. We should all clock out now and again. There are known antidotes to being disconnected and overworked. We can find so much power in pausing. The Knapp Bishop recommends that all of us periodically log off social media, take structured breaks from emails and texts, walk a while in nature, listen to music, take long baths and showers, craft and recreate, literally recreate, sip tea, pray and meditate, do yoga, create a home altar, sit in silence, daydream, and also nap for about 20 minutes a day. Find whatever combination of these holds the most appeal to you and attempt it. The present seems like the best time to try. You might want to start with a nap. We can each honor the Sabbath we need, today more than ever before. To worship is to stand in awe. To worship is to be silent, the late Unitarian Universalist minister Jacob Trapp proclaimed. To worship is to pause from work and listen to a strain of music. To worship is to sing with the singing beauty of the earth. One of my favorite souvenirs from our years in New York City is the framed poster that now hangs in our house titled Bird's Eye. Painted years ago, it was one of the displays that the MTA network rotated through the subway system. It depicts the city in complete quiet and utter stillness, bathed in moonlight reflected off skyscrapers as the birds fly over winding subway cars on elevated tracks. It always reminds me a bit of that sleepy little hamlet of Riverdale on a Friday night, taking its familiar shelter in Sabbath. I've been studying this lovely painting a lot lately. It appears to capture the scene only moments after millions of people have rushed to their rest. Looking at it, I can almost hear the neighbors in our old building speaking Hebrew to one another and wishing each other Shabbat Shalom, the deep peace of Sabbath. The poster makes our world look just heavenly. Of course, when we stop to notice it, to truly attend to the time, to the spirit of our time here, it so often is.